Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Business Talk, presented in collaboration with the University of Rio Grande and the Ohio State University South Centers, from the heart of southeastern Ohio at the University of Rio Grande TV studio. Our goals are simple: promote the University of Rio Grande and the Ohio State University South Centers, as well as advocate local small business and their support organizations. More importantly, promote southeastern Ohio as a wonderful place to live, explore, and learn. There are many different ways you can find us. The University of Rio Grande Cable Access Channel 17, live online at blogtalkradio.com, and on YouTube if you are unable to catch our show live. Introducing our co-hosts, Jason Winters, Mike Thompson, Patrick Dingle. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to our show. Today is an interesting day in the fact that we are getting very, very close to having a graduation. I think a graduation is only going to be in about two and a half months, something like that. And when we graduate, students from the University of Rio Grande and other universities, the very first thing students are expecting is a phone call. And a phone call from a human resources person that says, hey, we'd like for you to start immediately, and we will pay you six figures. And I know for a fact that some of the students need to dispel that. So it's our great pleasure to present Chris Norse. Chris Norse is the director of the human resources at the University of Rio Grande. I myself have always enjoyed being in the presence of human resources individuals. First of all, they keep us informed. They let us know as an employee some of the benefits that are available to us. I think they're fun-loving. And if I ever want a job opportunity, they're the first people that you go to. In jesting aside, there's a lot of people that think different kinds of things when it comes to human resources, and that's one of the things we want to find out, just what a human resources director does and the responsibilities they have. So it's my pleasure to introduce Chris Norse. Chris Norse, again, is the director of the human resources at the University of Rio Grande. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Patrick. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to come talk to you and to your audience today. I know I came kicking and screaming. I didn't voluntarily right away run to the show, but we won't get any viral videos from this. Well, in a bad way, maybe a good way.
Well, if there's a major blooper, I want you to know that it will be played at Christmas time for the rest of your life and your children's lives and things of that nature.
No doubt.
But so far we haven't got any bloopers. But Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, where you come from, how you got involved.
Sure. Well, I'm from the region. I was born and raised in a little town called Lucasville, Ohio, not too far away from here. Best known for maybe the state penitentiary and swamp days that happens three or four times a year. So I grew up there, and when I graduated, I attended Marshall University. I earned a bachelor's degree in psychology. I enjoyed college so much that I wanted to stay in, so I stayed in as long as I could and went ahead and got my master's degree in industrial organizational psychology.
You're trying to figure Mike and Jason and I out, aren't you?
Well, it's taking a lot of time. I've been here 3 years and I'm still working on your case. But anyway, industrial organizational psychology has a lot to do with human resources. So a lot of my courses dealt with a lot of times what is considered business personnel matters. But so once I graduated, I went to work, and as you said, some of our students are getting ready to graduate. I had that was probably the biggest first disappointment in my life. All things considered, not too big of one. But I graduated, and I thought, well, here I am world. I'm sure the phone any minute is going to be ringing off the hook. I'm going to have multiple offers. I'm sure one of those is going to be CEO and president of an organization, but it didn't quite work out that way.
Gee, I thought I was the only one that thought that.
No, you're not. So anyway, to this date, I mean, I've spent 15 years in human resources. I've worked in different environments. I've worked in manufacturing. I've worked in the call center and then higher ed, higher education for the last 8 years or so. So I've enjoyed working in both in a variety of different environments. And
So it sounds to me like you started at the bottom floor, like all of us.
That's correct, yes.
And we did those things that we wish we never had that experience.
That's true, right.
But in order for us to take those steps, we went through and we plotted through the call centers. I would imagine there's some interesting stories behind the call centers.
Absolutely.
And so you took baby steps until now that you're the director of human resources at the University of Rio Grande. You have two staff members.
I do, yeah. I work with a great team here at the University of Rio Grande. Derek Rose is our payroll and
very important position.
Absolutely. He does also benefits administration, and a lovely Susie Fitch, who's our administrative assistant. So I have a great team to work with, we're here to, you know, one of the things about human resources, a lot of times when they hear about that or they get a call from human resources, people get nervous. So first of all, on behalf of my HR colleagues and professionals, I want to dispel the myth about the fact that we're not really evil people. We're actually pretty nice, and we're actually here to help people. And so I encourage you to reach out to your HR friends if you have in any organization, and they're there to be your advocates, not your adversaries. But to kind of make light of this, I brought a couple of pictures if we could,
sure,
could show. As I said, a lot of times, especially in the media in TV, movies, comic strips, HR, a lot of people like to poke fun at HR. So here we have the famous comic strip Dilbert and Catbird, the evil HR director. He's reading from the evil HR Digest. It's a popular book that it's basically a must-read. And so we get all of our ideas there, of course. In TV, as you're familiar with The Office, and here's a motivational poster, basically says, human resources, working hard on exceeding your low expectations. Now, I can say that the workload on the desk is pretty accurate, but that's about the only thing in that.
Well, that's why you have two. You have Susie and Derek that you can just sort of say, here, take this, handle this for me.
Right,
will
you? Yeah. So. And that does happen quite a bit. And then finally, again, human resources, a lot of times this button or badge says human resources, the employee's version of the principal's office. So, but we really are, as I said before, we're really advocates. We're not adversaries. And,
well, you know, I would have to agree with that. You know, I've had the opportunity to work at several different places in the human resources, and I found that they go overboards in treating people with respect and rarely, if you make them upset, you know, it's like any person, if you are not friendly to them, many times they aren't as nice as it can be to you.
Right. So sometimes we deal with employee issues, just a few times, you know, but the most of our time is spending educating people,
sure,
communicating with folks about their, all kinds of positive things.
Sure. And usually you can tell an officer the kind of people they are by the office staff. And everyone has been extremely friendly to myself and to students and things of that nature. So I'm surprised to hear that anyone would dislike you or be upset with you.
Well, hopefully they don't. But in general, there's that kind of a myth out there about human resources folks. So don't believe it. All right. give us a call.
You know, you brought up something very interesting. You know, we were talking a little bit about graduation right around the corner. Granted, it's still February, but before you know it, graduation's here. And you were discussing earlier, before the broadcast, about applying for jobs. You know, what are some of the ways in which students can best put themselves in the best light and in applying for jobs?
Okay. First of all, I think it's pretty simple. Is the number one piece of advice is follow directions. It seems simple enough, but you'll be surprised how many people actually don't follow the directions when they're applying for positions. Each organization really has a specific instructions on how to do that. Some may request cover letters, resumes, a completed application in addition to some of them ask for work samples, references. So I think it's very important for a job seeker to look, know what they're applying for, know who they're applying for, and do the research, too, on the employer. You know, a lot of times, especially when they're first-time job seekers coming out, that they will blanket their resume and their application all over the place. And that's, you know, that's pretty easy to, from a recruiter standpoint, to pick up on if it's to whom it may concern, or you may look at the resume and it says, I'm applying for the wrong position at the wrong institution or the wrong employer. So it's very important to make sure that you follow directions. And these days, as you know, a lot of, especially large employers, there's the technology involved with application tracking and things that it's pretty amazing. So you want to make sure you follow those directions, first of all, to make sure that they're actually getting looked at, your resume.
I think you make a very good point. We had a supervisor from Ohio State University at the Sales Centers about 10 years ago. And not only was he interested in people following the application, he was also interested in making sure that everything spelled correctly. And a person may have had the best resume, but if they misspelled a word, they were tossed out. And the reason being is they got 90, 100 different resumes for one job.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're saying is that oftentimes the first impression is the best, and following the directions and making sure everything is directed toward that position.
Certainly. So you want to make sure you highlight your unique qualifications, that you do meet the qualifications. A lot of times we'll get a lot of applications. We may get 50 from one support staff or clerical position. It's not uncommon, but it is amazing to see how the errors, people not paying attention, the typos, the grammatical errors, the spellings. That, as you said, you're right. It's your chance to make a positive first impression. So it's very important to review that carefully, and then maybe have someone else look at it as well.
Sure.
Another tip is to make sure, because of all the volume of applications that employers get these days, and jobs are scarce, is to highlight, again, those unique qualifications, what makes you, what sets you apart, to highlight that potentially at the beginning. So constructing a resume, for example, if you don't have the degree that they're looking for, you may want to highlight your experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in a typical fashion, resumes are read from top to bottom. So if you look, you highlight those things that make you unique at the top, and then work your way down.
I do have a question that students have asked me, and I really didn't know the best way to answer that. Oftentimes when we apply for a position, we are leaving a certain amount of money in salary, et cetera. And so when we're looking for another position, oftentimes, that is not posted. The salary is not posted. when should an employee, an applicant, ask what the salary amount is?
Good question. I would advise someone who's looking for a job, it's not stated in the advertisement what the salary range is to save that for the interview.
Okay.
And that's a great discussion when you're talking about your unique qualifications, why you should be offered the job. That's a great time then to talk about salary, or you know, maybe it would be a follow-up. It really depends. A lot of times these days, your salary requirements are put on your application. Again, it's talking about the following instructions. So if they ask for what your expectations are, then you need to list it. But you can go online these days pretty fairly. What we do when we're looking for a position, advertising a new position, in a lot of cases, is we'll get to market data. We'll go out and see this position at a similar university with similar size enrollment, the budget, what are the norms for a salary for this position? Now, we can always do that, and employers can always offer market value because they have to consider in-house equity. There's ways without asking the employer what a position may what to expect.
But usually, if I'm understanding correctly, usually if you're right out of college, there is not probably a lot of negotiation for salary, as it would be maybe 10 years down the road.
That's true, right? And don't expect. Unfortunately, you're not going to be the president and CEO the first day. That's typically not going to the way it works. Your first day on the job. So you do have to gain valuable experience. And as a student, what I tell students here at the University of Rio Grande when I speak at some of the classes and things is that, you know, you want to highlight, a lot of times you don't have that experience, right? You're fresh out of college. You may have the education, which is great, but you don't have the real-world experience. So in this case, I tell students to highlight some of your accomplishments. So if you were, for example, if you were in extracurricular activities, if you're a student athlete or involved in a student organization, you know, that shows a lot of different skills that employers are looking for, your interpersonal, your social, your teamwork, team building skills. So I encourage students, again, because they may not have all the experience, to get involved on campus, get involved in a student organization. If you have highlight your GPA, that'd be great to put on there, right? If you don't have all the experience, but you have a pretty good GPA, that shows that's a good sign for an employer of someone's work ethic. And
let's just suppose that an individual did all the right things and then got an interview. Can you give a few do's and don'ts that might be that we should sort of understand going into an interview?
I can start with some of the recommendations or do's. First of all, do your research, right? So you want to know what position you're applying for, who the employer is, what they do, maybe who their competitors are. So visit the company's or the organization's website, do your independent research before applying for the position.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's amazing that sometimes we have applicants who come in and they, you know, who are you, where are you, what do you do, and that's not a very good impression.
Right.
Of course, rehearse interview questions ahead of time. In many interviews, you know, they're going to ask the same standard questions, or you can find those easily online. So, you know, practice those before you go in for an interview and be prepared. Of course, dressing appropriately, right, for the job that you're seeking. Now, if you're going for a lifeguard position, you know, a business attire would not maybe be the most appropriate. It wouldn't be
swimming trunks.
Expectations. But on the same token, if you're going for a professional interview, you might not want to wear flip-flops.
Right. That's a good point.
Watching your body language in an interview is very important. Good eye contact, posture, make sure you're sitting up, being confident. That's good. And always a positive smile and energetic personality is always helpful. of course, a positive attitude always counts for everything,
that is,
right?
That carries a lot of weight. Yes, I agree.
And I always inform or advise job seekers to, you know, an interview is a two-way street. So you're not only interviewing and finding out more about that company, they're finding out about you. So you want to have that interaction. You want to come prepared for questions for them. So to show your interest in, you know, always ask, you know, what are the next steps? It shows that you're motivated and you're ready for the next process. So those are just and of course, always be yourself. You know, if you're going in for an interview, you definitely don't want to try to be someone you're not. Try to use terms that. That you're not familiar with or examples, and that recruiters always can pick up on when someone's exaggerating or when they're not being completely honest. So just be yourself. And, you know, we all know that interviews are not the easiest things to prepare for or to go through. But
it's like sales. We don't like to hear no. You know, we especially if we're going to an interview, we are rehearsing all of those questions and things of that nature. We're going to do our very best in putting our foot forward. And sometimes it's very difficult to hear we didn't get the job. And so a good question is, you know, after you've had the interview, what do you recommend individuals do to find out if they've acquired the job or if there's additional kinds of things?
That's a good question. I think a follow-up from an interview is always very important. So I would recommend, maybe a thank you note following within the day or next couple of days so that your name is fresh in their memories,
yes.
Or especially if there are multiple candidates involved and they don't take the time,
that's extra step.
So that again, shows a follow-through and, just a courtesy. A lot of times people say, well, should I call, I've interviewed for a position, should I call them? And employers sometimes get a little annoyed by the constant calls. So it's good to call, to follow up, especially if you haven't heard from them in a while, but at the same time you don't want to be too desperate or show desperation by basically stalking. Yeah.
I've made it sort of a goal. Wait about a week and then follow up is there other kinds of things that you would need? And then it's sort of an open-ended kind of thing, and it allows the employer to sort of give hints as to are you still being considered or you're not. One of the worst follow-up interviews I ever had was not calling, and after a month and a half, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder, you know, because I understood at the time of the interview that it would be a while. So after a month and a half, et cetera, I called them. They had hired someone else. And I wish I would have done things differently rather than just wait for them to call. Because no one likes to hurt another person's feelings or dash their hopes or things.
And I know employers a lot of times these days they do not follow up with their candidates. That's
right.
That's not true with the applicants that apply here at the University of Rio Grande. We think it's important to follow up with those individuals who have applied and then encourage them to apply again. You know, our listeners and viewers should see interviews as a learning experience. Right?
Yeah.
You may not get the job. And you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket either. So, there's many things. There's been many interviews I have gone through and thought, wow, you know, I've learned from that in some way or another.
Sure.
So I'd be more prepared for the next one.
Sure. I know you have a lot of different unique information that you wanted to share, but our time is running out and we have to have you back. But before you do come back, is there something you wish that you could say to our listening audience before we call it an experience?
Again, I just encourage those not to seeking a job is a job in itself, really. It is a full-time job. It takes a lot of hard work, perseverance, persistence, and don't give up. I mean, that's, again, in our area, you know, the good jobs are hard to come by, but don't give up. You know, seek those special skills, those unique, what sets you apart, and make sure you highlight those, whether it be coming to the university here or another institution for, you know, additional skills, knowledge, degrees, certifications. That's always important. And another thing is, I think, work history. It's very important that for those who have your resumes, that you can take a look at someone's resume and say, well, have they've been a job hopper, as we call them, or someone. So be persistent.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We just have a minute or so, but I wanted to ask you about that. Younger different generations, one of the things that I heard about the youngest generation is that they'll stay at a job for 3 years and then it's time to move on. I don't know if it's been your experience on that, but in my generation, it's all right to have moved to 4 different jobs. But
yeah, that's more common these days. As you know, back in the I guess the good old days, that you had employees are very loyal to their employers.
Yeah.
These days, you know, there's a better opportunity, and with the globalization and
right.
Especially all the access to information online and things, it has changed the workplace quite significantly.
Okay. So. Chris, I want to very much thank you for coming. You do have to come back. We would like to have your staff, Derek and Susie, come back and also be involved in sharing information. I think we only touched a small part of really what a human resources individual does, you know, when it comes to the benefits and payroll and things of that nature. So thank you very much for coming.
I appreciate, again, the opportunity. And I just want to know one last question is, you know, previous guests, how soon should I expect an agent to be calling? Should I be a few days, I guess?
Well, my people will get together with your people, okay? you know, as you see, University of Rio Grande has some interesting individuals that have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge, and it's my pleasure to have Chris Norris, Director of the Human Resources here at the University of Rio Grande. I'm Patrick, and
I'm Chris.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.